You're listening to the Cross Brand Sunday Morning Service on HLE Radio. Now here is Pastor Mike Morrow with today's message.
Good morning, family. There is a great quote by a guy named John MacArthur. I feel no sting. I feel no fear. And one of his kids said, basically, he is saying it is well with my soul. I want to put a different twist on that. John MacArthur was a staunch believer that you could know whether or not you were going to heaven. And I'm sure what he would actually want to tell everybody after he died was, I told you so. I'm in heaven. I'm here just like I told you that you could know. And I believe today you could know. It is a bittersweet week for us. My mom finally, after 3 years of just suffering, got to go to heaven this past Friday. You know, I'm just so thankful that there is no question in my mind where that little short, sassy woman is right now. I'm just one of those guys that I believe you can know. I just don't think you're supposed to go through life not knowing whether or not you're going to heaven when you die. I think that's a terrible, terrible, miserable place to be. But something that happened actually last week in our young adults, one asked me this, because we talk about the sermon after I do the sermon, and one of them asked me this, hey, what does it mean to be saved? And I thought, well, what a dumb mistake that I made in not including that in this particular message series, because I'm afraid that a lot of you may not know what that means. It's not far. One teacher was trying to explain to him what saved meant, and he said, as a child, I first heard that word, but his daddy owned the salvage yard. And he began to put two and two together and realized that there's not a whole lot of difference. You're being saved from something. And so a lot of times cars that were supposed to go to the junk pile, actually his dad would refurbish. He would save them, put them back into production for a good purpose. And so I'm going to make three observations about what is saved. All right. Now, this is a biblical definition. I'm not going to put a denomination stamp on this definition. Historically, scripturally, saved means, in general, deliverance from the guilt, penalty, and power of sin through Christ. Now, we're being saved from something. We're being saved by someone for something. And so I just need you to know that that's the general definition of being saved. And if I could further clarify that, we understand from Scripture that there's two components. Number one, we all have a common problem. For all have sinned and fallen short. All right, so we're all sinners. Even your precious little grandchild is a daggum sinner, all right? Number two, Wayne Grudem is an amazing theologian. And he said, when we say the word salvation or saved, there's a bigger component. There's a bigger picture than just repenting. You know, the first part is sin. The second component is the Savior. In a nutshell, that's what being saved is. But he said, let's show you the bigger picture. All right, so here's the aspects of being saved. Number one is election. That's however, everybody disagrees on that one, but you know, the whole predestination thing, it's in Scripture, so there it is. The gospel call, that's when God is waking you up. Even generation is, regeneration is being born again, John chapter 3. Conversion, that's when, you know, once God wakes you up, and you realize, oh, I'm in a mess, and I need a solution, and who is my solution? It's Jesus. And then the four that are underlined, I'm just going to just briefly touch on those. So if you're saved, you're justified. So the definition in Scripture for justification is right legal standing. We get adopted into God's family, and, you know, you thought your family was crazy? Look around. This is your family. So you just get in more trouble. Perseverance of the saints, that's remaining a Christian, and death is part of that. And then the final step in your salvation experience is what we call glorification, just a big old word, and it's receiving a resurrected body. So here's the four that I want you to understand, especially the first one, because the first one is going to matter in the way some of you are handling your doubts. I can give you the legal definition of justified, but it is that when God says, well, let's just look at Romans 8:30, for instance. And those he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. And then he said, if you're justified, then you're going to be glorified at some point. So basically, it's a legal term, and I can give you all that, but the best one was put by a country pastor. He was trying to teach his people the doctrine of justification. He said, oh, heck with it. It's just if I'd never done it. Regarding sin, when God looks at you now, once you've come to faith and repented, it's just if you'd never done it, the sins. That's a crazy thing, you know? God chooses to forget. God chooses to omit. Tabula rasa, clean slate. What some of you are basing your salvation on is the fact that you are still sinning, but God isn't, you're forgiven past, present, and future. Practically, you are imperfect. You're going to mess up, all right? Positionally, though, you being a member of the family, you're justified. Jesus took your sins. And now, a lot of you are trying to evaluate your worth through the American legal system. You got felony sins and misdemeanor sins. That's silly. That's not there. It is immediate, the justification process. So let me tell you what happens after that. God, because you're justified, allows you to become a family member. There's benefits to being a family member, one of which is going to be you are an heir to an amazing kingdom that is still yet to come. All right? And we know that because if we'll take this scripture, John 1:12, those who did receive him, he gave the right to become the children of God. Those that, of course, have trusted him. Now, here's another one. It's really cool the things that God does for us when we get saved. A lot of us have oversimplified that whole thing and said, well, I'm saved, so I'm going to heaven. But there's a whole lot more to that, man. And I'm just scratching the surface. But one of the benefits to accepting Christ, to following Christ, to trusting him to take away your sins is the fact that during this time, you're going to go through a process. It's called sanctification. Sanctification is the process of God working in you to make you more and more free from sin and more like Jesus. The moment you accept Christ, you're justified. He says, okay, we're square. Christ squared up. He paid the penalty for your sins. You're a member of the family now. Come on in. But then God does an amazing thing, because we get the Holy Spirit when we're born again. God does an amazing thing. He goes, okay, I know you are a sinner that's been saved, but you possibly, not possibly, you're going to need some help to live saved. Not live saved to continue to be saved, but as a believer, you're going to need a little help, buddy. And God is looking at some of y'all and going, ooh, no, he's going to need a lot of help. What God wants to do, as simple as I can make this, what God wants to do is make you behave and think more and more like Christ. That's all he wants you to do. You're never going to be Christ. But what he's trying to do is get you to that spot. Just a little bit more like Jesus in what makes you mad, because Jesus got mad. A little bit more like Jesus in what Jesus was made sad over. And so that process is called sanctification. And as we look to a scripture justification for that, it's plain and simple. Paul told the Corinthians, who were very imperfect, he said, you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in his spirit. I do know this process of sanctification, it begins when you get saved. Process of sanctification increases. It's supposed to increase through life. That's because, okay, this is not necessarily theologically perfect, what I'm going to tell you, but let's just say you got saved when you're 21 years old, and you was a little bit of a party kid and wrong kind of parties, and you just made some bad choices, all right? But you got saved. 21. A lot of you may not like the way I put this down, but I believe there are mile markers in your faith. I believe you should be able to ask yourself, am I more like Jesus now than I was when I was 21? And that's the process of sanctification. And so it's lifelong, and it is supposed to make you better. Now, you got to do something to let the Lord work in your life. You've got to fight back against sin and temptation. You've got to remain in your community. You've got to remain in the Word, and you've got to remain in prayer. That's just as the basic stuff. Sanctification, listen to this, is then completed at your death, or if the Lord returns. And understand this, sanctification is never completed in this life. I was mentioning John MacArthur a minute ago. He went and laid down, passed away as a work in progress. You all are a work in progress, all right? And I had a friend of mine one time. His wife had, she had no filter. I mean, there was no, God had, there is a supposed to be a screen door between your brain and your mouth, all right? And the Holy Spirit is supposed to, you know, help you navigate that screen door, filter. I'm not saying God made a mistake, but I promise, I bet a dentist couldn't find a screen door in that woman's mouth. And she said something one day, and she loves Jesus. She just ain't got a screen door. And she said something one day, and it was the most inappropriate thing I've ever heard in my life. She just looks at me like, okay, I swear I didn't hear that come out loud. I go, you know, it came out. Her husband, he's red-faced. And he said, if sanctification in this life was on a scale of 1 to 10, she's still on a 2. Be patient with her. She's a 2. It'll end at the end, though. And then the final step in this whole process of salvation that I wanted to focus on today, so you just know, is it's a big word, but it's glorification. And there's a lot of different ways we could define it, but it's what's happening to my mama, or what happened to my mama, I believe. And depending on your end times theology and your theology of death, some believe it happens immediately. Some say there's a little bit of time to elapse there. But hey, bottom line is this. One of my favorite passages of scripture is in 1 Corinthians 15. Very relevant for my life. I'm telling you a mystery. We will not all fall asleep. That means some of us ain't going to die. But we will be all changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, and the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we will be changed. Ultimately, this is not going to happen to unbelievers. But there will be a point when God says, okay, go get them. And we call it the rapture, regardless of when you believe that's going to happen. I believe it's going to happen before the tribulation just because of the context in Revelation. But you don't have to believe that. It is not a big matter of faith where you believe the rapture is going to occur. But the thing about it is, it says we're going to be changed. And they use the word glorification, but ultimately our body is going to be very similar or just like Jesus' body. Perfect. And so this makes a lot of sense to a lot of different people that have watched their parents decay on a deathbed. Or you said goodbye to your best friend in high school, and then you got a call the next morning that he'd been killed. Okay, and so this is why this matters. Is that, nobody has nailed what heaven looks like perfectly. There's still got to be some mysteries, right, Mark? Just a few to look forward to it, right? And that's when we're glorified, because you got justified. And then you go through the struggles of life, the tension between being a Christian and living here in this world. That's when he sanctifies you. And all that time, because you're adopted into the family, at one point, all this that we deal with, high blood pressure, and a 13-year-old that has discovered pimples, no more. No more. And it's going to be a good day, guys. That's all I can tell you. It's going to be a good day. Anybody else looking forward to heaven? Amen. All right. 1 Corinthians 15, do you know the interesting thing is in Corinthians, the context of Corinthians and the Thessalonians, they thought death was the end. How sad is that, guys? They thought death was the end for everybody, even believers. And Paul went in and said, no. Because you've been justified, because you've been adopted, you're good. So why are you doubting? All right. Now I'm going to step up. Remember those markers that a lot of people don't like to talk about? A lot of people may say, well, just stick with the facts. Do you have the Son? Have you invited Christ to forgive you of your sins? Trusted him. And if you are, just quit worrying about whether or not you doubt. I don't know. When I doubted my salvation, that statement didn't work too good during my struggle. I was like, I just couldn't nail it down, you know? So let me give you a few things. John wrote the book of 1 John 100% with the purpose of, okay, these people need to know that they're going to heaven. They don't need to be doubting their salvation. Neither do you. And so from the book of John and in a couple other places, I'm just going to tell you some markers, some indicators that you are saved and you don't need to worry about doubting. All right? Number one, and by the way, none of them had to do with church attendance, chewing tobacco. I know some of you women are relieved. That's not the list. It's not the externals necessarily, because you can fake the externals. I mean, a lot of you are here. A lot of you served here this morning, but yet you, your hearts, I mean, you're not in a good spot with the Lord. So let's look at these. Number one, first indicator that you're probably saved is that you'd prefer not to sin. Did you hear me? I'm going to read a very confusing verse. If you want to do a deep dive later, that's fine. But here's the confusing verse. Everyone who has been born of God does not sin. Is anybody here in trouble? Anybody who's been saved does not sin. That's what it says. I'm in trouble. I sinned a lot yesterday. A whole lot. If you sin, just know this. It better bother you. You hear me? Christians cannot just go about sinning and it don't sting their conscience. So if you have no remorse, if it don't bother you. Now, remember, there's a difference between sin that we struggle with and sin that we embrace. And I'm talking about those struggles. Number two, do you prefer to obey God? That's your preference. Will you always do it? No. But as a general pattern in your life, do you obey the Lord? That's 1 John 5:3. For what is the love of God? To keep his commandments. His commandments are not burdensome. Number three is I prefer to have fellowship with other believers. Do you prefer to hang out with believers, to trust and confide in believers more than people who are at odds with Jesus? It's a big difference, guys. If you were saved late in life, this should be a natural for you. If you were saved late in life and you had one close set of unbelieving friends, and now look at you. You still have those as friends, thank God. You're still connected, but the people that you admire and love and confide in and get encouragement is believers. All right? Number next. Do you see fruit in your life? All right, you ready? Here's the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I got a new one. Exactly. Hey, is he choking or is that like normal? Oh, he's Pentecost. Okay. Love it. All right, here's the fruits of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is bumper stickers. Necklaces that say Jesus. serving on the barrel racing team. I see you over. Okay, that's not what it said. It says, fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. All right. Are you increasing in those things? Will you lose your patience if you don't come hang around my dad 1 hour? We'll test you on that, just like that little boy that sold that preacher a lawnmower and guaranteed it to start. The preacher kept pulling on it, pulling on it, pulling on it. The little boy was over there giggling. He said, well, preacher, it's voice activated. You got to cuss it. Preacher said, well, I don't cuss. Boy said, you keep pulling on that string and you will. All right, I'm supposed to have 1 minute, but I want to do this. Just my thoughts. Probably 40% of y'all are not going to agree with the next part. Now, you'll be kind to me. The thing about the next part I'm fixing to say is make sure you've got scripture to back up your position. Because this preacher can, you know, when it comes to the question, can I be saved and then unsaved? This preacher believes in if saved, always saved. If you have a Baptist background, you say once saved, always saved. But many of you that are from the Armenian, hardcore Armenian, and if you don't like that term, if you believe you can lose your salvation, basically you are from that camp. Is that a hill to die on? No. We're still going to be friends. We're going to serve. You don't have to believe what I believe in every single point except the resurrection of Christ. You definitely do not need to be in leadership of any kind here at Cross Brand if you do not believe in the basic stuff. But here's why I believe I'm kept. And I believe as I've drifted and you've drifted, all it was a drift. It was not the fact that you were saved at one time and then you became unsaved. All right? So number one, I believe in if saved, always saved. Because we're saved by grace and we're kept by grace. Grace says you can't do anything to contribute to the process of salvation. So if we couldn't contribute to the process of salvation, how can we contribute to the process of not being saved? All right? That's my thoughts. And a lot of you little, you know, y'all are going to through your brain, well, what about that verse in Hebrews? What about that verse in Hebrews? I encourage you, if you're basing your entire theory of losing your salvation on that verse in Hebrews, I ain't gonna read it right now, but if you're basing it on there, go back and do a deeper dive. Have your Greek dictionary there, right, Matt? Have your Greek dictionary, have your historical dictionary, and have an understanding of Jewish culture with Jewish converts, all right? So that scripture, so many of you still believe you can divorce God or go away from God just like kids do their parents sometimes. I know a lot of us have prayed that our kids would do that. They just keep coming back. Number two, and by the way, Paul believed that. In Philippians 1:6, he said, I am sure of this, that he who started a good work in me will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ. Paul never stopped sinning. He struggled. We know that from Romans chapter 7. But yet, he was confident in his salvation. We're held by Christ. John chapter 10 gives you a picture of the fact that we are held in Jesus' hand. That's John 10 and 20. I give them eternal life. They ain't going to perish. Nobody can snatch them up from me. And then he goes down and says, oh, by the way, guess whose hands are around mine? The Father's. Try getting out of that. Number three, we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. Again, I'm not expounding on these. I'm just giving you my biblical statements, and you go check it out. How can you unseal a seal, especially in the New Testament as they were writing, that meant death if you tampered with the seal? You weren't unsealed. People didn't unseal stuff. And so we are guaranteed, listen to this, we're guaranteed He also put his seal on us and gave us his spirit in our hearts as a down payment of what? The glorification. What's to come. The fourth reason I don't believe that just because I go out there and act ignorant, that I'm unkid, is because we're chosen. A lot of people freak out at this. You don't freak out about the word chosen if you're watching The Chosen, the series. But boy, when you're talking about in Scripture the, you know, predestination and who picked who, and well, I don't know. You tell me how to do this. You did not choose me. I chose you. You did not choose me. I chose you. Okay. So if I didn't choose Christ, that means he had to wake me up because I wasn't paying attention to anything. He chose me, so how do I unchoose if it was never me part of that process in the selection process? And then, guys, I am wrapping up, but just do this for me. I mentioned this 2 weeks ago. As I wrap up this series, I just want you to know here's the nail in the coffin of doubt. If you're still doubting, I got to ask you this question. Do you have the Son? Do you have Jesus? 1 John 5:12. The one who has the Son has what? Life. Has life. Means you're going to heaven. So why are you doubting? Again, I said the better question is, instead of you saying, I wonder why I'm doubting my salvation, I'm saying, what are you basing your salvation on? Or more specifically, who? And if you go down the religious list, baptized, church member, all that, nope, that don't work. Do you have the Son? Have you trusted him with your sin? Your problem. Everybody's problem. He that has the Son has life. As I close today, listen, I wasn't there in the final time my mom passed. We had just been there, and she was struggling like crazy. She had dementia, for all you new folks, but she'd been bedridden forever. Couldn't do anything, couldn't talk. And anyhow, y'all understand when I say it was a happy day for me. Y'all get that? Okay. If you don't get that, you need to ask yourself why. Unbelievers don't get the fact that it is a great day to see my 80-something-year-old mother get to go to heaven. So stinking tired of seeing her suffer. And Christians react to death differently. We do. Big difference. And so today, I just want you to know, I want you to have the same confidence that we did. Do you have the Son? Let's pray. Father, as we close, we thank you. I tell you, in times like this, not just in the death of a family member, but boy, all we got to do is read the headlines on Fox News or whatever our source is and tell you what. We know we're in a mess, Father. Crazy times. But you told us that was going to happen. And you also warned us, not only are we going to have trouble, but, you know, there is a time of accountability, and that is death and then judgment. So today I ask as I close this, if there's someone here that are just not sure they've got a relationship, let's just get them through that. Father, I pray that you'll give them an extra dose of grace this morning just to trust you. It doesn't matter if they've already made a decision or a member of a church or whatever. If they keep doubting, I pray today that they'll just simply say, Jesus, I'm a mess. I'm a sinner. Forgive me of my sin. Change my life. In Christ's name, amen.
Do you have questions about today's message? Or did you make a personal decision to follow Jesus? We would love to hear from you. Find us online at crossbrandcowboychurch.org. or call us at 903-535-9155.